This morning, my message is again from, you can turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John 3:13, which is only a very short reading, and then we'll turn to John 15. I'll allow you to get that one too. John 15, we're going to read 18 to 21, which I read last week. I read these two scriptures last week, but they're relevant to my message again today. So 1 John, in the back of the Bible, near Revelation, 3:13, 1 John 3:13, and then the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 to 21. Now I'll read out John 3:13, very challenging little piece of scripture, only a couple of words in it. It says, verse 13 says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." John on the Isle of Patmos wrote that. "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." You get it? Think about it. "Marvel not, my brethren," talking to Christians, not talking out to the people in the world. "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." Don't be surprised if they hate you. Amen? Now we're into John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 to 21. Jesus talking here, he said, these are the words of Jesus, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." Amen? The world hated Jesus. If ye were of the world would love his own. If you're of the world will love you. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Verse 20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." They don't know God. They don't know God. They're not going to know his son. So there we go. They're going to hate us. It says in that Bible, in my Bible reading anyway, it says that. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us with our message today and to get what he wants to speak to us today about. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this faithful group of people, Lord, who've come here faithfully, Lord, leaving the world and the pleasures of the world behind, Lord, and coming out to on the Lord's day to the Lord's house. The door is open, and we thank you, Lord, for this group of people, Lord, who have faithfully come to fellowship together, to worship and praise you, Lord, and to hear your word preached. And we thank you, Lord, for each life that's here, Lord, and we know that each person is at a different place with you, Lord, and you're doing different things in each of our lives. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit minister to each one, especially, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last Sunday morning I presented a message entitled, "Marvel Not If the World Hate You." Amen. Based upon that same scripture we've read as our introduction this morning. Marvel not if the world hate you. These scriptures plainly indicate to us that the world, meaning the unsaved, non-Christians, as well as the unsaved professing Christians, amen, there's heaps of them, it means there that the scriptures plainly indicate to us that the world, meaning the unsaved non-Christians, as well as unsaved professing Christians, will hate us. And in some cases, they will even be physically hostile against us. Today's message is on the same subject as that as last week, so the title of the message is, "Marvel not if the world hate you," part 2. In the letter of 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 13, we are quite bluntly informed that we are not to marvel, not to be surprised, if the world hates us. And just in case we are led to think that the word "if" in that verse of Scripture means maybe the world will hate us, or maybe it won't, then the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verses 18 and 19, we are twice warned that the world definitely will hate us. And further than that, in verse 19, we are warned that the world will actually persecute us, even violently in some cases, simply because we promote and hold in reverence the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are committed to living our lives according to his teachings. That's why they'll persecute us. Last Sunday, I mentioned about how, in my experience of being a Christian for nearly 40 years, who with God's help and guidance openly practices my Christian beliefs, I have to admit that I've never really experienced the level of hatred coming from the world that a plain reading of the Scripture seems to promise us. I've never had that much problem. And I don't see any broken arms and paralyzed legs from people being bashed up for their Christian faith in here today either. I've got a paralyzed arm, but I got that from serving the devil. Amen? Not from serving God. I haven't really had that much trouble with the unsaved people who are classified as the world. And from what I've experienced in the churches, it seems that the world loves us more than it hates us. Hey, we're using a facility here of the world. They don't hate us enough to say, they're not using our school hall. But it might come to that one day, my friends. Okay? So that it just seems to me, what I've experienced, it seems to me that the world loves us more than it hates us. Yet we can't ignore the fact that the Bible clearly states that we are not to marvel or not to be surprised if the world does hate us. Despite a bit of initial rejection and a verbal abuse from my family and former friends, it's been my experience that rather than the world hating me when I've stood for biblical truth, it's been the professing church that I've had the most problem with. It's the church that I've had a problem with, not the unsaved people out there. However, if what I'm saying is true, that we in Australia have not suffered the type of persecution and hatred that the Bible indicates that we will, then what is the Lord speaking about when he makes this prediction? A prediction that, for all intents and purposes, appears like it probably doesn't even refer to those of us who have lived our whole lives in a peaceful and tolerant society like we've enjoyed here for generations in Australia. What could the Lord be speaking of when he emphatically says the world will definitely hate and persecute us? Now, they said that, he said, they're going to persecute you like they persecuted me. They killed him, they flogged him, and put him on a cross and let him die. Left him to die. He gave up his own life, Jesus. In answer to that question, what could the Lord be speaking of when he says the world will hate us? In answer to that question, let me suggest that while we who make up the Lord's church have received acceptance, tolerance, and even friendship coming to us from the world, that freedom has really only existed because, as I said last week, the protection we have enjoyed coming from the law of the land. We're a protected species at the moment, but all of that is changing dramatically and quickly. In my message last week, I also mentioned that during 73 years of observation, 73 years today, well, I wasn't observing much up until I was about... I can remember examining things when I was about 5 and analysing what's going on here. So for about 68 years, I've been looking and noticing things. But anyhow, I've noticed how we in Australia, just like in every other free Western nation, sooner or later we always follow the path of the Americans. Our American friends, all right? As a society, politically and culturally, whether it be good or evil, whether it be true or false, eventually Australians, and probably Papua New Guineans too, get around to imitating our American friends. And in the Philippines they do. We all imitate the Americans. And today, as we have observed the political and cultural changes that have taken place in America in the last decade or so, particularly during the reign of the Obama administration, anything to do with biblical truth and godly living is becoming increasingly unacceptable in the public square. Have you noticed? Little waves are coming ashore. That there's a storm brewing. There's a storm brewing. When we have truly trusted the Lord for salvation, and we have truly been regenerated by his Holy Spirit, we are presented with the very serious question, what is truth? And with the Lord's help, we are able to come to the correct answer. What is truth? Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? The famous question. He asked Jesus, what is truth? He asked the right person what seemed to be the right question, but like many who profess to be seeking truth today, the truth Pontius asked about wasn't the truth Jesus spoke about. And like many who ask the same question today, Pontius Pilate was far too busy and distracted to wait for an answer. Today we live in a postmodernist society, or culture, where philosophical arguments about what truth actually is rages unrestrained. My truth may not be your truth, and vice versa. Truth is no longer absolute, but has become subjective, depending upon what you believe to be right in your own set of circumstances. Modern society, including much of the church, is pragmatic. In other words, what works, what we do, and if it works, we're going to do that, whether it's good or evil, whether it's right or wrong. That's what pragmatism is. It does not question if our actions are morally or ethically right, pragmatism, but rather whether they give us the result we desire for our personal benefit. What is right or wrong changes from situation to situation and from person to person. You might have noticed that too. We believe in the Bible, eh? As absolute truth. But we can't go quoting the Bible anymore as being the truth, because we've got all sorts of legislations happening that don't agree with us. We live in a time that is comparable to what is described in Judges 17 and verse 6, where we are told that in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The standard for what was right and what was wrong in those days was determined by each man's opinion and not by any authority like a king. But Proverbs 12:5 warns that the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And the counsel that we as Christians hearken to is the counsel that comes from our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what He has determined in the Scriptures is right or wrong for all mankind, whether they be saved or unsaved. The Bible is truth, and that truth is relevant to everyone. No exemptions. They might think they're exempt, but they're not. Oh, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, you're not exempt from God's truth, my friend. And you'll find that out one day. If you don't get saved, you're going to find out. In Daniel 12:4, we see that about 2,500 years ago, an angel told the prophet Daniel, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." We are seeing a dramatic fulfillment of this today. But with the increased knowledge, we also see a corresponding increase in lies and deception. With the increase of knowledge comes a corresponding increase in lies and deception. The Bible also predicts in 2 Timothy 3:13 that evil men and seducers, they shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. With the increased knowledge and the advancement of technology predicted by Daniel, has also come a corresponding opportunity for evil men to seduce and to deceive. Because of the flood of false information in our day, young people in particular are being desensitized to what is truth and what is just plain lies. In a recent survey conducted among young people in America, it was discovered that most of them were unable to judge the reliability and integrity, that is the truthfulness, of online information. They were unable to discern truth from error. The report stated that overall, young people's ability to reason about the information on the internet can be summed up in one word: bleak. It's very bleak. Their sense of being able to determine what is right and what is wrong, what is truth and what is error, is very bleak. When it comes to evaluating information that flows through social media channels, they are easily duped, the article said. In other words, they're easily lied to. Along with the way that our up-and-coming society is being educated, or should I say, not being educated, to think critically about what they read, hear and see, the majority of them are far too busy playing and entertaining themselves with their electronic devices to be concerned with learning to think properly. They are actually entertaining themselves to death because they are conditioning their minds to uncritically accept anything that anyone with a bit of authority, or worse still, anyone with a bit of fame, tells them. If some rock star or sports idol says that something is true, then they believe that it must be true. The young people are taking their authority for truth today from movie stars and rock idols. The movie industry is full of wickedness. And yet they're looked upon by most of the society today, the world, as being the authority on everything. They're supposed to be the authority. A bloke called Dio Chrysostom, he was alive from 40 AD to 120 AD. Alright, so he lived for 60 years, this bloke. He was a Greek philosopher and a historian of the Roman Empire in the first century. He made a profound statement when he commented about people in his day. This is what he said, his writings. He says, "Like men with sore eyes, the people find the light painful, while the darkness, which permits them to see nothing, is restful and agreeable." Listen to that. This is what this bloke said back there, back in the first century. He said, the generation of people in his day, like men with sore eyes, they find the light painful, while the darkness, which permits them to see nothing, is restful and agreeable. That's a very profound statement. If that doesn't perfectly describe the vast majority of people on the earth today, 2,000 years later, both old and young, then nothing else does. And it doesn't come as any surprise to God that this is the case. In John 3, you can turn to this one please, John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, it's recorded where the Lord Jesus said something similar years before Chrysostom, long time before Chrysostom, Jesus said this, 140 years or whatever. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said this, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Why did they like darkness rather than light? He says, because their deeds were evil. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." That's why most people get around in the dark doing evil things, you know. They don't go out in the middle of the day. Mostly it's hidden in the dark. And if you catch them, they want to run away and hide, you see. They don't want the light to shine on them. But Jesus knew that. He said, that's why people love darkness, because they can hide their evil deeds. Easy to work out. "Like men with sore eyes, people love darkness rather than light. They love lies rather than truth. They hate the light because it exposes their evil deeds." So Jesus said, "It reveals their preference of lies rather than truth. They prefer the darkness, which permits them and everyone else to see nothing, and therefore they can remain unaccountable. They find darkness restful and agreeable. They are willfully blind and they are willfully deceived." Now I'm going to talk about politics a little bit again. Don't like to talk about politics, but you know what? We've got to talk about politics today, because the politics out in the world are coming into the church and they affect us. We need to know what's going on. We need to know what some legislation that they're wanting to bring in, how it's going to affect us, you see. So we need to keep up with what are all the politicians doing. The controversy that followed the American elections in 2016 over fake news is a result of contemporary society's inability to discern truth from error. According to the Bible, the reason that the world is full of fake news is because we live in a fallen, sin-cursed, spiritually darkened world. And fake news has been around since the beginning of time. It's not a new thing. It didn't originate with the 2016 American elections. Fake news includes the teaching of evolution and a Big Bang theory, as though it is proven fact. That's fake news. It promotes that Islam is a religion of peace. And now most Western non-Muslim societies believe that lie, despite all the available evidence to the contrary. You saw what happened when that bloke shot those Muslims in New Zealand. How the whole nation came out and defended the Muslims. Which, I say, we don't believe that anyone should go into any church or Muslim or anywhere into their mosque and shoot people up. But you see the big fuss they made about, oh, here's a non-Muslim, did something against the Muslims. And they tried to blame it on Christianity. Thankfully, that bloke had a very, very good history about what he was about. He didn't believe in Jesus. He believed in Chinese philosophy, communism, right? So he wasn't a Christian. So they couldn't blame the Christian for it. But all that hullabaloo that went on and the big fuss around the world that went on about that, in that same time, there was a mob of Muslims went and killed 140 Christians in Africa. Did you know that? Yes, some of you did. But you didn't hear it on the news. No, they didn't report it. And since then, there's been thousands of Christians murdered by Muslims. It doesn't get on the news. Fake news. Fake news. The Muslims are being persecuted. No, the Muslims aren't being persecuted. The Christians are. The Christians are being persecuted. And the Jews. Anyone who believes in God will be persecuted. So, that's fake news. The situation sufficiently demonstrates how successfully fake news works. That demonstrates how fake news works. All the young people who don't think are now affected by that the Christians are persecuting Muslims, all right? Fake news also promotes as morally right, for example, such things as abortion, men and women living together out of wedlock, and the homosexual lifestyle. Fake news. They reckon it's good. No, it's not good. God says it's not. In the churches, the main reason that lies can be so readily accepted as truth is because of spiritual mediocrity and complacency, and because of the very real Bible illiteracy that's in the churches. People don't read their Bibles and study them. I'm not saying here, we're pretty well learned up here, we make sure that we are, but most of the churches in the world, that people don't even know what the Bible says. And in fact, if you turn up in their church with a Bible, they'll probably read from something else. So most of the people leave their Bibles at home. When we were in the AOG, you never knew what Bible was going to be preached from the pulpit. It could be anything. So I'd turn up with my Bible, be an NIV or some other silly thing, and they'd read from something else. And I'd have to look and try and compare what my Bible said with theirs. So a lot of people, they just don't take their Bibles. Don't worry about reading it. There's a very real situation where people today that call themselves Christian do not even know what the Bible says. They don't even know what it says. Anyhow, we live in the historical period, time period described in the Bible as the last days, a time which prophesies escalating apostasy infecting the professing churches of the world. We live in the last days, Jesus said, and the Bible says, there's going to be a falling away from the faith. Amen? A great falling away, an apostasy. People will turn from this truth and go for error. Today our world is a spiritual world, but that doesn't mean it is a Christian world. Quite the contrary, in fact. A recent survey conducted in America found that 30% of Americans considered themselves as spiritual, but not as religious, meaning that they didn't think they wouldn't have to go to church or anything like that. Many people profess belief in God, or a God, but they don't necessarily profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or in Christianity, or that the church has even got anything really to do with that professed belief in God. Spirituality and the Christian religion have no relationship as far as a growing number in our society are concerned. They're into all spiritual stuff, but it's not necessarily Christian stuff. There's spirituality everywhere. And you know what? A big thing that happened, right for the end of the church age happened, when I was a young fella, the Beatles went over to Asia and got into all Eastern religion. Started smoking pot and getting signals from, you know, spirits, and came back and infected all the young people around the world at that time of the 60s. And that spirituality, yoga and all that sort of thing came in as a flood. And it's still here today and getting worse. A study I read a few years ago really demonstrates the way that everything was heading as far as Christianity and the church were concerned. This particular survey was conducted exclusively among professing Christians. Get this, this is among professing Christians who said that they had heard and believed the gospel, they believed the Bible to be true, and that they had been born again when they were led in a sinner's prayer, according to the survey, right? They reckon they were saved people. Here's what the survey found. 80% agreed that the Bible teaches that God helps those who help themselves. 80% agreed of these Christians that they surveyed said that the Bible teaches that God helps those who help themselves. Is that what the Bible teaches? You know what the Bible teaches? God helps those who are helpless. God help. If you think you can get on and help yourself with everything, you've got no chance of getting saved. That's why I couldn't get saved, because I relied upon myself. I used to help myself. I'd pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Who needs God? But when I got to that place where I was helpless, finally, the Lord could do something. 69% said that hell is not a place of physical torment where people may be sent. Not a physical place. 49% said that the devil is only a symbol of evil. Not a real person, he's a symbol. 39% said that if a person is generally good or does enough good things for others during their life, they will earn a place in heaven. These are Christians saying this. 30% said that Jesus Christ was a great teacher, but he did not come back to physical life after he was crucified. 29% said that when he lived on earth, Jesus Christ was a human and committed sins like other people. More than a quarter of them surveyed. 26% said that they were not personally responsible to tell other people about Christ. We're not supposed to proselytize. Especially don't proselytize the Catholics. We ought not to do that anymore. They're Christians just like us. Who are you, you bigoted thing, to go and tell a Catholic that they're not saved, you see? You don't do that. 15% said that they disagree that the Bible is totally accurate in all of its teachings. So that's what the survey found. If things were so bad among professing Christians, back when I first read the results of that survey, then we can be assured that they would have become only much worse since then. Amen? Last week I mentioned about how our religious freedoms are being threatened because of the increased promotion and normalisation of homosexuality in our society. Since the legislating of the gay marriage, both here and in America, and in other Western countries, the demand that is now being made by left-wing government officials and the LGBTQ lifestyle promoters, that's the gay-style promoters, is that further federal laws should be enacted to prevent Christians from expressing opinions based upon what is plainly written in the Scriptures. They want to make it law now that we can't go and speak about biblical truth to people. And if we do, we should be arrested. They want us to be arrested, taken to court and fined, and even locked up in jail. Now, if you're keeping up to date with what's going on internationally, you would have heard that on May the 7th, 2019, the House of Representatives in America was presented with a new piece of legislation for consideration called the H.R. 5 Bill. H.R. stands for House of Representatives, number 5. H.R. Bill number 5, or it was called the Equality Act. The American House of Representatives is now controlled by a majority of elected officials from the left-wing Democratic Party, who are almost pro-everything that is contradictory to Scripture. They're anti-Bible, they're anti-God. They are also pro-socialist or communist, and they are anti-national, having an agenda to abolish national sovereignty and bring in a one-world government. That's what the left-wing government in America is about. It's called the deep state. You might have heard that term. Donald Trump said, I'm going to get rid of the deep state. I'm going to drain the swamp of all these swamp creatures in the government, and we're going to get back to Bible stuff. And they're fighting against him. And they're mad. They're mad. So, they're communists. They're communists. And they've got an agenda to abolish national sovereignty. They don't want us to have national borders. That's why they won't build that wall at the southern border of the United States. They want us to open all the borders and have just a one world community. And it's going to come. They're the people that are going to push it through. And we're going to have it here in Australia too. All right? Because we're going to have a one world government one day, and the Antichrist will be the supreme leader. And there's going to be big trouble. And God says, I'm going to get my people out of there and deal with this. And there's going to be a rapture, and we'll go to heaven to be with the Lord for 7 years at the great supper of the Lamb, right? The marriage supper of the Lamb. While God deals with all this situation, he's going to arrive on the scene and fix it all up, my friends. Among other things being promoted for legislation in the HR 5 Equality Act is to push for homosexuality, transgenderism. You know what transgenderism, eh? People that think they're a man that thinks he's a lady. And a lady that thinks she's a man. And they're teaching all the little kids to think like that. Oh, you like playing with dolls. You must be a girl. And it's a little boy. Or some little girl likes playing with cowboy guns, you know. You must be a boy. And they convince these kids now that they're not what they are. So, among other things being promoted for legislation in this act, the Equality Act, is a push for homosexuality, transgenderism, etc., to be given equal status to the US Racial Discrimination Act, or Civil Rights Act, which was enacted in 1964, and which outlawed discrimination based on race, colour, religion, gender, or national origin. Listen to this. This is what this law did for the black people in America. You cannot discriminate based on race, colour, their religion, their gender, or their national origin. You can't discriminate against people for that, all right? That's good. For example, as I mentioned last week too, under the Racial Discrimination Act, which any true Christian would endorse, we endorse that, because we all come from one bloodline, we're all one race of people, there's only one race of people on the earth, my friends, we all came from the same place originally. So if a person is qualified for a job position that is being offered in a Christian school or church, that person cannot be denied the position based upon their race or their colour. So if we've got an ad in the paper, we don't put ads in the paper, for a pastor to come here, and a bloke turns up, and he's a African or something, and he's qualified for the job, and we say, oh no, we want an Australian pastor, he could take us to court for discrimination, you see. Under the HR 5 Equality Act, however, those same rights that have been given to the coloured people will apply to homosexual or transgender people. Now, that's right. We should be able to, a coloured person should have equal rights to white people and vice versa, right? But they're wanting those rights now to extend to homosexuals and transgender people. So if we've got an ad in the paper for a pastor and a man turns up here dressed like a lady with lipstick all over him and loud clothes and he says, oh, I'm a pastor, and we say, get lost, be careful. Be careful. We could end up in jail. We could end up in jail if this HR 5 thing goes through. If accepted by the Senate, the HR 5 Equality Act will turn... You think I'm being extreme? No, I'm not. They're hostile against us. They're hostile against us. They're out to get the Christians, my friends. That's what it's all about. If accepted by the Senate, the HR 5 Equality Act will turn sexual orientation, or in other words, homosexuality, and also gender identity, into protected classes. The proposed law would be identical to what is currently the law under the 1964 Civil Rights Act. All right? The HR 5 Equality Act would empower the federal government to impose civil and criminal punishments on citizens who fail to obey the sexual orientation and gender identity ideology, including medical professionals who are opposed to performing transgender medical procedures and abortions, amen, although that's not in this, but that's what they're doing to doctors today. You are forced to do the abortion. They're saying now they want the doctors to be forced to do transgender operations on people, mostly kids, by the way. Included there will be parents who won't help their sons or daughters to get counselling and gender-changing medical assistance. They've actually taken kids off people in America and given them to the medical professors to give them sexual orientation changing medication and operations. And the parents have got no say. It's already happening, all right? It'll also include women and girls who speak out against males coming into their bathrooms or toilets because they identify as females. That's going on wholesale in America at the moment too. And they also include businesses who won't perform some transaction with a gay or transgender customer because it would violate their moral or religious conscience. Like the cake maker, who's had 3 court hearings now, or 3 charges against him, separate. He wins one, they bring another charge. Another couple of homosexuals to come in and say, we want you to make us a cake for our homosexual wedding. And he says, I won't do it. I can recommend you go to that cake shop over there. They do it. But I don't want to violate my religious conscience here. And he's in big trouble. He's in big trouble. Anyhow, the bill would violate all these people, their rights to freedom of conscience, religion and speech. It would also affect women and girls' sports teams because biological men and boys claiming to be females will be allowed by law to compete against them. Have you heard anything about that? It's already happening. Have any of you heard about that? No, you have, but you haven't heard about this, eh? No, doesn't get reported in the paper. But this is what's happening. Girls who've been for years training to get qualified to go to the Olympics, they go to the final test that they've got to do in a race or something like that, and some big muscly girl turns up. She's about 6 foot high, and she's built like a bloke, and she runs and beats them all. And it's a bloke. Says he's a girl. That's happening now. That's happening now. When females are forced to compete against males, who God created to be physically stronger and more athletic, then they are going to be the loser on every occasion, as many are now finding out. Oh, we knew that would happen. We knew that would happen. People that have their finger on the pulse, been seeing it coming for years. Here it is. We watched a video the other day, a young girl complaining. You can't come out and complain because you'll be in trouble with the equal opportunities mob, you see. But she complained on a YouTube video about how she's been training all these years to, and she's like, she's going to win this race. And they brought in two males, beat her out of it. She can't go to the Olympics now. So her dream is finished, all right? Let me remind us why all this absolute confusion has come about and why our freedom of religious belief and expression is now being threatened and why our opening scripture this morning, which tells us that the world will hate us and will violently persecute us, is becoming more real with each passing day. Let me tell you why that's happening. We read about it in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, which says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And it goes on to talk about men with men and ladies with ladies. He lets their mind get all mixed up. And this is what happens, you see. And that comes from God. He says God gave them over to it. What we are witnessing today in society and in the churches is that God himself has given a godless people over to perverse minds to do things that are immoral because they don't like to retain him in their knowledge. That's what it says in the Word of God. That's why all this is happening. Like the flood of Noah's day, as I mentioned last week, like the flood of Noah's day and the fire and brimstone of Lot's day, homosexuality and gender confusion is a prophesied condition of judgment upon our hostile, God-rejecting last day society. That's what it is. God's given them over to it. Now, what are some current signs that demonstrate that genuine Christians who live by the Bible are increasingly being hated by the world? What are some current signs? Let me give you a couple. Reported in the Daily Telegraph of June 13, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, was an article entitled, I don't know if you saw this, "Kmart bans customers using religious words." Kmart bans customers from using religious words. You know, they've got those photo kiosks. You can go and print your, take your card out of your camera down and get them to print it out, and you can put captions and things on it. Well, they've banned religious words. Reading from the article, it stated, this is from the article, "Kmart bans customers using religious words such as Jesus or church at its photo printing kiosk. But Islam and Quran get the all clear." Words such as, reading still from the article, words such as Jesus, church, Christian, Bible and Jewish, which were used as captions, were deemed to be profanities and replaced with asterisks. When customers tried to caption a photo with a forbidden word, a message came up on the screen saying, "Profanity has been detected in text," and substituted with asterisks. So, the software said that. However, the words mosque, Islam, Quran, Muhammad were acceptable. The kiosks are run by Kodak, which recently installed software to detect profanities. A spokesman for Kmart said, "We would like to sincerely apologise for this system error, which has been rectified overnight." There was a big uproar about it. What's going on here? They had to get in and fix the software up, you see. Now, I don't believe that Kmart staff would have been responsible for what were listed as offensive words and which were part of the software that was installed with the photo kiosk system. But the list had to have been compiled by someone in authority somewhere who fulfills Jesus' warning in John 3:13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." That list would have had to have been put together by someone who is anti-God and anti-Christian. Somewhere, and that person would have an authority, you see. It wasn't a prank. It was part of the software that was installed in that kiosk. So, God gives us signs, you see. He says, "I'll give you signs and you can see what's going on. Take notice of what's going on." All right? So there's a sign for us to know there's a campaign out there to get rid of Christian stuff. And they accidentally and got it going, and we all know about it now, so we can be on to it. That's one example. Another example of the Lord's prediction that the world will hate Christians was on display this week when a Baptist pastor from Washington, or last week it was, last Saturday, a Baptist pastor from Washington in the United States was arrested and locked up last Saturday because he refused to move across the street from a public library where a drag queen story hour was taking place. Have you heard of the drag queen story hour? Haven't heard of it? Been around for a little while. Not that long. But we need to be up to date. I'm bringing you up to date today. There's a thing out there called the drag queen story hour. Amen? Take note. He was arrested and locked up last Saturday because he refused, this pastor refused to move across the street from the public library, where the drag queen story hour was taking place. He was lawfully on public property, exercising his free speech and protesting against the event, which had about 40 police for protection. There was about 40 police here at this thing, including snipers up on the roof of the library to protect the drag queens. Video footage I saw showed police telling the Baptist pastor and about 200 concerned local adult residents, that if they didn't support the event, then they were to stand on the other side of the street, away from the public library. But those defending the homosexuals, a group of about 400 adults, many of them gays, were able to assemble next to the library. Now, you're going to protest against this event. You get away from here and get over there. All right? And leave the drag queens alone. Now, if you don't know about this event called Drag Queen Story Hour, it's a program or event featuring gay drag queens reading stories to children between the ages of 3 to 8 years old in libraries, schools and bookstores. Now, there was a report in O Timothy the last month or the month before. We had a little article in there about this very thing. So we need to read what O Timothy's got written in it to keep up to date with what's going on, you see. David Cloud gets all this stuff and he reports it and puts it in a magazine, so spreads it around the world so all the Christians can read it. And we should not be caught unawares. This has been going on for at least 2 months. That's probably only about 3 months ago it got into being. Drag Queen Story Hour is a program or event featuring gay drag queens reading stories to children between the ages of 3 to 8 years old in libraries, public schools, or bookstores. It was created by promoters of the gay lifestyle in San Francisco, California, say no more, in the United States. Some of the drag queens have even been discovered to have previous criminal histories as convicted pedophiles. Now, do a Google search of the term Drag Queen Story Hour, and you will see that although it's something that has only recently come into existence, it is exploding across the world and is even becoming accepted and established here in Australia. I did a bit of a search yesterday or the day before just to get my facts right. And in Australia, it come up heaps of stuff about it here in Australia. And no doubt we'll see it taking place here in Cairns in the near future. Homosexual drag queens having stories, little kids sitting around them, they're sitting on a chair or standing up or whatever, in all their regalia that the drag queens get dressed up, very scary looking stuff, some of it, right? And these little kids are being indoctrinated by them. And the people are just going along with it. The horrible thing is that many adult parents in the community are defending this evil and are even attending the events with their kids. I've had a look at some of them, some of the photos from inside these things, and there's adults sitting on the floor with the little kids, and there's the drag queens sitting up there teaching them. Now that's bad, eh? It gets worse. A growing number of so-called churches are now hosting these gay groups to read their version of Bible stories to the children in their congregations. So-called churches. You know, I reckon we should have a look and see what this organisation that we're investigating is. If it calls itself a church and it's going with this sort of stuff, we should stop calling them churches. What is a church? It's the called out ecclesia, the people of God, the people of Jesus, the church, the bride of Christ. That's what the church is. You've got a gay, somebody gay sitting there reading stories to little kids. That's not the church, my friend. Now, we who love the truth of the scriptures And he would not want to be counted among those who caused the Lord's name to be blasphemed among the Gentiles. We could become very despondent about these seemingly hopeless situations. And we could be tempted to become fearful about these escalating threats upon the church and upon anyone who claims to be a Christian. We could get very worried about it and scared. But the Lord has told us in many places in Scripture that if we stand with Him, or stand for Him and with Him, He will stand for us and defend us in the times of trouble. Amen? Amen? We've got a God. He's the God who created everything and is in charge of everything. Remember that all this stuff is happening because God is handing those people over to judgment. So God's in control. God's in control. So, when we see the promise of 1 John 3:13 progressively becoming more real before our very eyes, where the Lord Jesus tells us, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you," then we should rejoice. We should rejoice, knowing that our Redeemer is very close at hand. And He will be our defender, our sword and our shield. In Psalm 18:30, God Himself assures us and comforts us with the promise, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." You trust in the Lord, everything's going to be okay. If you don't trust in the Lord, you've got big problems coming up. We need to trust in the Lord. And let's close this morning. I'm going to close. Let's close this morning. Is that good news, what you've just heard? It's horrible, isn't it? That's what's happening. That's what's going on. Soon as they bought in all this gay rights stuff, we knew what was going to happen. They'd come out and persecute the Christians. They'd persecute us. Because we've got a message, you see. That Israel Folau, football player, I don't support him, but he mentioned that sinners that commit homosexuality are going to go to hell. He's only quoting the Word of God. Well, that's the truth. They don't want us to say that. Don't say it. And if you do say it, you're going to go to jail. If they're going to try and make that, they're going to outlaw that sort of thing. Anything to do with Scripture, anything to do with the Bible will be outlawed. We won't be able to. Jesus said a time of great darkness is going to come when we can't work. We won't be able to mention anything about God or the Bible or the Lord Jesus Christ especially. You can mention God because they can make that anything, you see. But don't mention Jesus, His Son. There's only one Jesus. Anyhow, let's close this morning with another promise from God's Word. This time from Isaiah 59. You can turn to this, please. We're going to read this and be encouraged. All this terrible news going on, all right? Hey, rejoice. The Lord is nigh. We don't have to get all scared and worried and hide in the dark somewhere. No. God will take care of us, my friends. Isaiah 59. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. And then I'm going to skip down to verses 18 to 20. Isaiah chapter 59. Reading from verse 14. Take notice now what God says in His Word. "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off." Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. That's our day, my friends. "For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth." Hey, truth is always truth, but the world is not going to hear our truth, all right? Not the truth from the Scriptures. They make up their own. "Truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." If you depart from evil and promote the Bible, it says you'll make yourself a prey. You'll put a target on your back, in other words. "And the Lord saw it, though." Hey, the Lord saw it. "And it displeased Him that there was no judgment." God can see everything. This has not caught God by surprise. Nothing happens in the darkness, remember, to God. All right, He knows what's going on. He saw it, and it displeased Him that there was no judgment. That's talking about today here, my friends. Verse 18, "According to their deeds, accordingly He will repay fury to His adversaries, recompense to His enemies. To the islands He will pay recompense. Verse 19, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun." They're going to fear God eventually. Everyone is going to bow their knees to God eventually, whether they want to or not. Amen? All will bow their knee to God. He says, when the enemy, listen to this please, listen to this, verse 19, I'll read it again. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come like a flood, when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Is the enemy coming like a flood today? God says, I will lift up a standard against him. When the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Alright? God wants us to hear these truths and stand up for Him, my friends. God will give you the courage and the strength and the commitment to defend His truth. He says, when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon people and lift them up as a standard against the enemy. And that's happening in our day. When the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. That's the promise we need to go by. When we see all these things coming upon us, don't get all fearful and buckle up, my friends. Stand up strong. Our God is with us. Amen? God is with us. He's on our side. Are you on God's side? He's on ours then. And that's what we're going to do here in this church, eh? And I pray you people, stand up. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Because the Redeemer, He's nigh. And we don't want to be like Peter, eh? Remember Peter? Poor Peter. We're going to have to apologize to Peter for a lot of things when we get to heaven. We say a lot of things about Peter, but this is one thing he did. They were on the Mount of Olives. Jesus said, stop here and pray. I'm going to go up here and pray. I need to pray. Because he knew the crucifixion was coming. He told Peter and his mate, stay there and pray. He came back. Peter was asleep. Peter, you need to pray. Watch and pray, Peter. He went away to pray again. He came back. Peter was asleep again. He woke him up and he said, can't you stay awake for 1 hour and pray? You need to watch and pray. We need to watch and pray today. What happened to Peter? He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord. The fear got him. Fear got him. Remember? The people in the campfire. You were with that bloke. No, it wasn't. He denied Jesus. And we don't want to be guilty of that. The only way we can be free from being guilty of that is to watch and pray. See what's going on. Pray. Read the Word. Keep in fellowship with the Christians. Amen? With true Christians. And believe God when He says, I will be your defender. Amen? What's our message called? Marvel not. The world hates you. We haven't had any hatred, really. But it's coming. It's coming. Are you ready for it? That's the thing. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we've been able to share, Lord, in your word. And